Do we relocate for a better job?
Right.
I mean, probably eight out of 10s, yeah. Right. Eight out of 10 times, probably. But what if your son is a senior in high school? Hello, yeah. Now we're talking.
What's up, everybody?
That feels like a... Wait, keep it going. Keep it going.
Is it pumping you up, Kurt? Ready to go?
That's great. That looks. See, you can do the snare.
Wow, that's good. At first, I thought
pumping
it was
us up, ready to go for another episode.
Yes.
What did you think you said
at first? I thought it was like it sounded like a theme song to a show.
Oh, okay.
But, nah.
But that's not part of the free music.
Yeah,
available.
No. Well, I mean like that genre.
Oh, I see.
It could be.
Oh, that's so.
Now
good.
It feels sort of like church.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I don't know what genre. I don't even know what genre it is, but I like it.
It's just happy
it's just
music.
Just happy, yeah, it's good.
Kurt likes to be happy.
I do.
It's a great song to end the
Grace
series on.
It's a great, yeah.
Our 4-week series. What a way to end it.
4 weeks. We don't do four very often.
Four episode series.
Yeah. Called
and we have a name.
Two to go.
Two to go, yay!
Where every episode we're giving you two tips.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. To go, to remind yourself of, to remind your kids of, the two most important that we've sort of narrowed down. Mm-hmm. Grace will take one, I'll take one. We talked about the two most important things every child needs to hear over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The two most important things parents need to hear over and over again. The two most important reminders for parents of teenagers to hear over and over again. And today, it's not the two most important, but it's the two biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting fails.
Mm-hmm.
So out of all of our numerous parenting fails, talk about hard to narrow
come
it down.
Come up with just two.
I had this list of like, okay, but that. Oh, that reveals a little bit too much about me.
It's too vulnerable.
You know, most of them were Rachel fails. And so I didn't feel like it was my place.
True.
It's not my place to share her
That's
shortcomings.
That's hilarious.
That's not true.
So I had to,
have Rachel listen to this episode.
Took me a while to come up with one of mine. But I actually, the one I landed on is one that it was a decision that the two of us made together. So mine is actually a kind of a one-time decision that had long-lasting consequences. Yours is more of maybe a pattern of behavior.
Cumulative. Yes, behaviors
focus,
that...
Focus, lack of focus, whatever.
Right. Equal to failure.
Yes. So, which I like that, right? Because there are like one and done failures.
Mm.
And then there are like decisions.
Patterns, habits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to lean into today.
Yes.
Producer Chris, do you have one? Just what do you have? Like, what was one of your biggest parenting fails?
What does that mean without going to town? Like, don't talk very much. Just go ahead.
Just say what it was.
Do you know what I do? Here's what I do. After each episode, I will go and I will write a blog. Like a little short blog. And then I post the blog and I put in the show notes. So if people want to know my thoughts with
you'll put
stuff,
it in the blog.
They can get
there.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
And there's like three or four people that read that.
No.
Every month.
I know many more people that read that.
Okay. So after this episode, if you want to see producer Chris's parenting fail, go to the blog at Saddleback Parents. No. On Purpose Parents.
Yes, onpurposeparents.com.
onpurposeparents.com/blog. And you can read, this will be like two to go
plus
Chris,
one.
Plus one.
Supersized.
Well, I'll give two. I'll give two of my fails so we can keep them at two.
Two.
Yeah, I'll just do twos.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting? Because I think maybe, Kurt, you can kick it off for us, but this seems like a strange topic, right? Our other three episodes were two things to remember, more advice or tip or encouragement related. And now we're talking about our failures.
Yeah.
And what I think is so helpful about being part of a parent community is just reminders that we're all human, that we all fail
a lot.
Mm-hmm. And we're in it together. And so that's our heart for this last episode, is that we have fails too. And maybe by sharing our stories, we can learn from our mistakes. Yep. We can learn from our failures, but also encourage one another that it's okay to make mistakes, and don't be so hard on yourself, because we're all in it.
We're all in it. And I think it's we'll both share like the lesson we learned, because to me, failure is always good unless you don't grow from it.
That's good.
Right? Yes. Failure is only true failure if you don't even take the time to reflect and get better.
I love that.
Get better as a result. Mm-hmm. I think both of our failures result in us getting better.
Yes.
So with that being said, here is Rachel and I, as we would both share equal parts in this. Yeah. When our kids were in elementary school, they both went to the same school.
Okay.
And it was a private Christian school. My wife, Rachel, grew up going to private Christian schools. I grew up going to public schools.
Okay.
We talked about what was the decision to make. We decided private Christian school. That was not the mistake. That was a great decision. But when my daughter was in junior high, the same private Christian school had a junior high campus that was in a different part of town. And lo and behold, they had decided this would be the first year that they will also open up an elementary campus at the junior high.
Oh, okay.
So then they had an elementary campus, and now across town, a junior high and an elementary campus. Mm. So we decided, well, it'd be way more convenient for us to move Cole to the other campus so he can go to the same school that Kayla goes to junior high.
Right.
Right. So we don't have to like pick up one, then drive across
two different places.
Two different schools.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Inconvenient, right? Like let's make it easy on us.
Right.
Well, Cole had all his crew, all his buddies. He was in like fourth grade. So he's kind of that, not preteen, but friends were a big deal. He had his crew. It was a big elementary school, so there was probably as big for a Christian school. There was like three or four classrooms of every grade, so it was, you know, lots of kids. His new school had one classroom for every grade. He didn't know anybody, but we said, Cole, you know what? We're going to move you over there, and so we forced to switch schools, and it backfired big time. There was only like 12 other boys his grade in his class.
Okay.
They were all super athletic. He wasn't. Oh, they had known each other forever. He was the new kid.
Oh.
And he hated it.
Yeah.
Asked us to go back to it. We said, no, it's too much hassle. Suck it up. You know, I mean, maybe not quite in those words, but that's the reality. The reality is we were asking him to suck it up.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting bullied. It was tough. Yeah. And even through junior high and high school, there was like, he would bring up memories of that experience.
Mm.
And we went through this time where he was kind of, he was becoming like in eighth grade, he was becoming one of the cool kids, like really popular, really. And I pulled him aside and said, hey, I want to challenge you to use, I want you to use your superpower for good and not for evil. Like that was my, like, use this superpower for good. Yeah. And he looked me in the eye and said, Dad, I hear you.
Okay.
But I will do whatever I have to do to never be in the position I was in elementary school.
Oh.
I will do whatever I have to do to never be on the outside looking in.
Mm.
And what he was really saying is, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to hold on to my place on the podium.
Because it feels so bad when you're not.
Because it feels so bad when you're not. Whew, that was tough. And, you know, so the lesson that we learned, and we really tried to like, okay, from here on out, is the reminder to make inconvenient decisions for the sake of our kids.
Mm.
When we signed up for parenting, we signed up to be inconvenienced.
Yeah, that's a good
point. We signed up to be inconvenienced. And so I would just encourage parents, especially in bigger things, to not only consider the convenience and the ease for mom and dad, but to really look at what does doing the convenient thing for us, what are the potential negative outcomes, ramifications for our kids. and when given the option, do what's best, not what's convenient.
Right. Like your own comfort is not necessarily the highest marker of how you make a decision.
Correct.
Like there'll be situations where, let's say your job moves you to a different state. And if that were to happen, I mean, that's not what you're talking about.
No, some stuff's out of your control.
Out of your control.
Right.
Life's, but when you have a choice and those options are in front of you.
Yes.
Not to default on just, well, this is convenient. This is practical.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. And I would, even to go to where you went, Grace, like the big one, like, do we relocate for a better job?
Right.
I mean, probably eight out of 10s. Yeah.
Right.
Eight out of 10 times, probably. But what if your son is a senior in high school?
Like, right.
And is it possible to delay the move for a year?
Right.
Is it possible to sacrifice maybe your career ambitions for the sake of your senior son? Like those get into real narrow, specific examples.
Like lanes, but yeah.
But, you know, I think that oftentimes, even with the big decisions in life, kids are resilient.
Right.
Kids bounce back.
Yeah.
We all know that. I think sometimes, I've been guilty of it at least, we actually leverage that. We kind of take advantage of that in ways that maybe we don't need to.
That's really good. Yeah, that reminded me. I had a conversation recently with a friend who moved from New York City to Florida, and it's only was meant to be a temporary thing. But during that time of moving, they had learned that their child was on the spectrum and had other developmental issues that at first they didn't know, you know, they didn't know what it was. They knew there was something off, but now it got diagnosed. But they have had terrible experiences in where they were living with care, either like not good treatment or just not matching with the right therapist and counseling group for their child. But in Florida, they found this group that, I mean, can go on and on about how amazing they are with this kid, and the progress has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so we were having a group chat and one of our other friends said, you need to stay there. Like, you know, for at least this pivotal season.
Yeah.
And I think that's an option that they can do. They can extend it a little bit, but just finding that care is so difficult and that right match, that now that they've found one that the kid is really leaning into and feeling safe and secure. I mean, not to dictate any kind of decisions for parents, because there's always so many things each family has to weigh. But to your point, to think about, you know, what is convenient, what was our plan, and weighing what is best for the kid as part of that mix. Yeah. So that's really good.
So there you go. How about you? All right. Let's see it.
So,
hey, Producer Chris.
Yes.
I'm so excited to hear Grace's parenting fail.
Does she even have one?
That's my point. That's my point.
So many all the
and
time.
Her and Sam are so wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. No.
And their kids.
No, we're
amazing, so cute.
We're very broken people.
Okay, let's hear it. Here we go.
So mine, like you prefaced, Kurt, is not like one singular mistake one time, but just a series of, I think, patterns and habits that Sam and I have developed over the years that I think culminate into a parenting fail.
Yep.
And that is ignoring the health of our marriage for the sake of our kids.
Gotcha.
And for the sake of parenting, being a parent.
Being such a good parent.
Being such a good parent. So much focus on our kids and giving all of our attention, all of our love, all of our energies into raising our kids, that we ignore our marriage.
Yep.
And it's a, when I say it's an accumulation over time, because I think this will be things that it's not a surprise to other parents or people who are listening, but it is very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
When you first have kids, it's just normal because you just gave birth or whatever it was. It's just like crazy season. So everyone understands, like, it's going to be crazy right now, newborn phase. You're not going to be the same way in your marriage as you were before kids.
Right.
And in fact, there are studies that show the drop of marital satisfaction after kids is huge. Mm. It's like happy, happy, happy. You have a kid. boom, it's like the graph, it just like tanks down. And that's normal because you just introduce something crazy into your life. You're going to be busy. You're limited capacity.
Yeah.
But the danger is it can become a slow habit that builds over time. And then you just become so used to being roommates because you're under the same roof, you're living in the same house, or business partners.
Right.
You're taking care of the tasks together, but you're actually not investing each other.
Right.
So initially it could start off very, it doesn't even feel bad. It's just more like, yeah, we're busy. You're busy. What's your schedule? What's my schedule? Right. What are you doing with the kids? What am I doing with the kids? But then over time, if you don't feed something, it doesn't grow. Right. If you don't invest in something, it doesn't flourish.
Right.
And over time, then it starts to feel not so good. Because when you do have miscommunications and arguments, you don't have that foundation of connection where you can be like, I get it. I understand.
Right.
It can, then your arguments start to become a little more tense or foreign, or you have less goodwill towards each other because there's no underneath, there's not good substance of connection.
Right.
And so then fights become more like callous or more distant, more stranger-ish, more stressful because, you know, you're still busy with work, with demands, with your kids and all of those things. And then at the end of it, you're like, who are we? Like, who are we without our kids, with each other?
Right.
And I would say this is a parenting fail, even though I'm talking about marriage, because one of the things we've been talking about, Sam and I recently, and working through this and growing through this over the years, is one of the most important things we can do as parents is actually investing in our marriage.
Right.
That investing in our relationship with our spouse is a tenet of good parenting.
Yeah.
Because that is the foundation and the core relationship and the basis from which we get the energy to love our kids. And when that relationship is not good, our kids know it.
Right.
I could, you know, like I could tell sometimes where like Sam and I are like fighting, but like we're not like full on like arguing, but it's just like, it's like side comments. And it's so interesting, like how good kids' radars are, because they're not paying attention. Let's say they're like on the iPad and we're like all just kind of in the same physical space together. So they're doing their own thing. And then when our tone shifts a little bit, it's like, well, how come? Blah, 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 blah. And they may not even hear the words, but you could see like their eyes kind of go up, because as subtle as it is, it's like kids have the radar of knowing, oh, some signals are going that doesn't feel safe, doesn't feel great.
It doesn't feel normal.
And it doesn't feel normal. Because
your marriage isn't marked by that, right?
Right.
So they know, okay, this isn't quite right.
It's entered into some sort of like tension. Yep. And we've seen our kids do this sometimes. They try to sometimes come and like, la, 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 distract. And we're like, oh, we don't want to put that pressure on our kids. We don't want them to feel the pressure to kind of mediate an argument. So sometimes we'll say that to them. And this is not to say you don't have fights with your spouse or that you can't show good conflict resolution with, you know, in front of your kids, even with each other. I think those are great, great growth opportunities and learning opportunities. But again, if this becomes a pattern, if it's a pattern over time where you just become distant, I think that can be a big parenting fail that Sam and I went through a season of.
Sure.
And one example I'll show you, this one's kind of silly, but it's just an example of how it can grow over time, is I remember now, and it seems like ages ago, before we had kids, we, you know, everyone, not everyone, but many couples have pet names for each other. We didn't have anything dramatic or unique, but we just call each other baby. That was our thing.
Yep.
And when something becomes a habit, you don't even think about it. Like whether you're public or here, just the word baby comes out the most natural. It's like baby, hey baby, like even on the phone, you don't even hear it.
Right.
But now after we had kids, we realize we call each other mommy and daddy. So like, I don't even notice that, but I remember we were like, daddy, you know, daddy, come over here. Daddy, do this, because that's how we refer each other.
Right.
Oh, mommy, come up. So we do it first with our kids, but then now we're just doing it all the time because they're now, Sam is now daddy. I mean, and so like we joked recently, we were saying like, okay, we got to go back to like, you can't be daddy anymore. I can't be mommy.
Right.
Our kids are now 12 and 9.
Yep.
But calling each other baby felt so awkward. And we like joke about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But we were like yeah. in public, we're like, hey, Dub, baby,
right.
come over here. You know, like it just wasn't natural.
Yeah.
That's a little silly example, but it's just an example how over time you can stop focusing on your marriage and focusing yeah. on parenting, and then that becomes your identity right. with each other.
Yep.
And then if you don't intentionally invest
yep.
in your relationship, then that's all you become, yeah. and yeah. that's actually not yeah. good parenting.
Right. So just a reminder, parents, that the reality is that instead of thinking we have to be great parents, great parents, great parents at the expense of our marriage, it's just a reminder that the in some ways, in lots of ways, the strength of your marriage mm-hmm. dictates the strength of your parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Or the health, maybe a different way, the health of your marriage
absolutely.
Dictates the health of your parenting.
Right.
Because being really good parents out of an unhealthy, disconnected marriage is not good parenting.
Right.
It's not good parenting. So great reminder, yeah. Chris. Chris.
Chris.
Chris. Producer Chris.
Hey.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You know what's so funny?
Grace, you look nothing like Chris.
But you know when people say Chris? Hey, Chris. In a crowd?
Yep.
I'll look because I hear
there you go.
Grace. Yeah. So, you know, we're yeah, connected, oh, Chris.
I thought you yeah. meant you thought I was somewhere and you were looking for me.
Oh.
And I was like,
no,
hey,
I'm
here.
Well, everybody, thanks yeah. for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this little series, two times
to go.
Four. So really it's eight. It was an 8-pack.
That's true. Yeah.
It was an 8-pack of two to go's. Share it with your friends. Text parents to 83,000 if you want to join our text family. If you want to like this video on YouTube, you can answer the question in the comments. In mm-hmm. fact, in most episodes, there is a question. If you wanted to answer that, nobody ever does, but you're welcome to.
Be brave and bold, please. Be the first one.
Share onpurposeparents.com. All of our resources, including producer Chris's blogs.
Yes.
And his two failures.
My
can't
two
wait
fails
to,
will be there.
There you go. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.